You're listening to a Left Lion podcast.
We know it's hard having to wait a whole month in between Left Lion magazines. Heck, it's difficult enough getting through the week. Worry not, listener, we've answered the call. You can get a pithy, up-to-date digest of the best stuff going on in Nottingham each week direct to your inbox every Wednesday by signing up to the Left Lion Weekly newsletter. Left Lion Weekly contains our top recommendations of events, new content, exclusive competitions, and more besides. So what are you waiting for? Visit leftlion.co.uk/newsletter to sign up now.
Hey, I'm Sophie, editor of Left Lion, and welcome to the Left Lion podcast. I'm really excited to talk to today's guests, Nairobi and Cheya of Out Black Era. If you don't know them already, the West Bridgeford sisters started recording music in 2020 when they were just 13 and 16 years old, creating an eclectic sound that ranges from nu metal and rap to electronica and drum and bass. Since then, they've racked up over 400,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, appeared on Jules Holland, won a Mobo Award, collaborated with Wheatus, and toured Europe with drum and bass legends Pendulum. Now they're back in Notts, they've got a new EP coming out called Our World, and are performing at Rescue Rooms on Saturday the 30th of May. I spoke to Nairobi and Cheya about everything from how they first started making music, what inspires their unique personal style, to how they've been finding their whirlwind year and what to expect from the new record. Hi Nairobi and Cheya, it's so lovely to have you here on the Left Lion podcast. How are you both today?
Hi, we're good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. It's lovely to have you here. So we spoke to you, I think it was like January last year, and you were just about to release your debut album, Rave Immortal. And I guess a lot has happened since then. You've won a Mobo Award, which is amazing. Congratulations. You've been touring with Pendulum. You released your album. But tell me, how's your year been and what's been your highlights?
Oh, yeah, it's been hectic, hasn't it?
Hectic in the best way, I think. We've done so much, like you said, we've been to so many different countries, we've met so many people. Yeah, we've been really grateful for the year that we've had. But what's been your highlight, then, Che?
I think out of everything, one of my highlights is definitely Jules Holland, because that was like our debut TV performance, and me and Ruby used to watch Jules Holland at like Christmas time, so it was just... It was kind of felt surreal, and there was like a live audience and Ali Pali, and it was just an amazing experience. How about you, Nai?
I say for me, I feel like people wouldn't expect this, but when we first started, you know, performing in Notts, you know, we were always at like, you know, Rough Trade. We've done a few shows at, you know, the Angel, Bodega, but one show that we have never performed on as Out Black Era is Rescue Rooms. So when we announced that our Nottingham headline show in May was going to be a Rescue Rooms, I think there was a real feeling of accomplishment, even though we haven't done it yet. It's just been something that we've really, really wanted to kind of perform at. And we've seen some of our favourite bands there. You know, we've seen Movements and Che's wearing the merch now. We've seen Kid Capici there. So I think now it's like, now we're taking to the stage, and like a level up. So it's exciting for... you know, the people that have seen us as well at Rough Trade and at Bodega.
Yeah,
to kind of see us taking a step. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, you definitely need to be at Rock City at some point. That's the obvious trajectory. I don't know about the arena. Like, arena shows, I guess, you go, is a whole different thing, I guess, playing on that sort of size. Which I guess you have been doing. We'll come to that in a little bit. So I'm really intrigued about your early years, how you got into doing this. Like, is your family musical? How have you developed playing music, singing together? Can you tell us from the start?
I think our house has just always been playing music. Like, music is always on in our house, whether it's from like the iPad or CD player. So I think we've just been singing together naturally from as long as we can remember. I remember we have an iPod in our kitchen. Well, we had an iPod in our kitchen, and our one chore when we were younger is to wash up, and it used to be like a 20-minute job, and we would just play karaoke on the iPod and just sing together and experiment with our voices and harmonies and sing our favourite songs from that time. And it would take like 3 hours to get done, but it was really productive, wasn't it?
Yes, in ways that we couldn't explain at the time, because we had no idea that spending those hours would make us, I guess, such better singers fundamentally.
Yeah, and we know each other's voices as well.
Yeah, we got really familiar with, like, if we're singing live, for instance, and I can just, I'll just get a feeling that Che's about to do a certain, like, run, and I know where she's going to go, so I can join her on the harmony. It's kind of freaky, but I just get a sensation, right?
Yeah,
I guess because you know each other so well, you've got that, like, link to each other, and it works with music.
Not in a twinny kind of way. We're sisters, but, you know, not twins to that extent, but I think we're really, really familiar with each other's voices, which I think makes, like, songwriting and things like that a lot more exciting and fulfilling as well.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And then you started making videos in lockdown, is that
Gosh, yeah. YouTube covers was our 2020 and 2021, wasn't it?
Yes.
we did a reaction video recently, like, reacted to our old covers, and they're so funny, but you can really see the spark in our eyes and how excited and passionate we were. But yeah, I think I'm not sure how you feel about this, Che, but one of the most rewarding thing in comparison from now to then has been connecting with the artists that we've done covers on, like, in 2020 and 2021. Mm. And, like, sending it them. The amount of, like, usually foreign artists as well, like, that I'll send them, like, oh, I did a cover of your song 5 years ago. You know, it's not great, but just now I've been a fan for ages. Nice. And I think that recognition and to be at this level now is really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny with the pandemic, isn't it? Because it seems like such a long time ago, and just yesterday.
At the same time, yeah, right? It's crazy.
And, like, so many creative things came out of it, and you've got to find a small silver lining with something. And I think, like, when we're this far away from it, looking back at what's come of it is really interesting. Yeah. So you started making music, and then you didn't go back to traditional schooling afterwards. So do you think, like, you'd like to go and do further education? Are you full on musicians now? Does it feel natural to just keep doing your musical trajectory? Or
I think that we were really fortunate in the sense that we always knew what we wanted to do from a really, really young age. And I think it's been a privilege to be able to pursue music full time in a non-traditional sense. But I guess we've been learning and creating at the same time, right?
Yeah.
The industry is so vast and we've learned so much. In a more, like, traditional sense, I think I've become quite interested in, like, music law. If, you know, if I get the book later down the line, I might, you know, explore university. But I think for now, we really are living the dream in our own world.
I guess it's a bit of a cliche, but it's university of life, I guess. So also, you've got a really strong visual aesthetic in your videos and on stage, which I really love. Like, I love it when you see a band and they look like a band and you're like, yeah, those guys are in a band. So what inspires that? Is there films or other artists? Or
I think visually, I think we're quite inspired by, like, the goth scene, Victorian era and lace, and I think with the black and white, it comes from our personalities. I don't wear any other colour than black, so that's, like, comfortable for me. And then Ruby likes to be just out there and bold, and then she's in the all white, and I think that contrasts, and it's kind of like yin and yang, it goes together, it kind of jars sometimes. So I think that's where it ultimately comes from.
Yeah, I think we're not the sisters that are really, you know, similar in daily aspects, whether it's our music tastes, our personalities, you know, the way that we perform on stage. We're, like, completely different individuals, and I think it's nice to kind of play into that idea visually with our aesthetics a little bit more as well, whilst being really authentic to ourselves and our own personalities. So.
Yeah, it gives us, like, individuality
in the duo, yeah, because it's weird, because even though we're a duo, we operate as, like, two individuals in the sense of, you know, when we're writing, it's like, oh, Nairobi wants to do this, or Che wants to do that. It's not like, we want to do this.
Yeah, I bet you get that a lot, actually, because you are sort of a duo, and people know that you're sisters.
But we are sisters in the sense that we have very strong individual opinions, and then Oh Black Era is, like, the perfect blend of these two worlds.
The compromise.
Yeah,
that's nice. I also really like that I've just seen so many younger people that are getting into goth recent, like, in the last few years, and I feel like there might have been a bit of a drought a goth drought for a while, and I'm like, I see people walking out. I'm like, yes,
yeah, you know, go for it. I saw a few goths the other day, and I was like, oh my gosh, you better. Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe it's because of social media.
Yeah,
and people are being able to like explore different subcultures and things like that.
Mm, yeah, definitely. Talk me through your approach to songwriting. So you say that you both sort of obviously come at it with different things. How do you write your songs? Do you journal? Do you write the melodies first? Does it depend on the song?
We're title kind of girlies, aren't we?
Yeah.
We start off with the title of the song. Che is always going to be good at writing a melody. Like, usually our dynamic is Che writes the melodies and I write the lyrics. Kind of unusually, but we start with the first verse as well. For some reason, everyone's like, you should start with a chorus.
It's because it sets the scene.
It sets the vibe. I love a verse. I just, look, what can we say? But I think when we're writing, it's always at home. We're always together. We don't go into the studio to write. We write at home first. Figure out, you know, how we want the instruments to sound, the overall vibe of the song, the feel. So when we go in the studio, we're pretty much just recording and trying to get all the thoughts out of our head, right?
Yeah. So do you get lots of, is it, you don't go anywhere to get your inspiration kind of, you know, some people are like, I need to go for a walk or I go to the cinema. Or...
I don't think in particular. I think whenever we see like a live gig, for example, we get really inspired and we're up till like the AM just writing so many songs after that gig. So I think that's where sometimes it comes from, but most of the time it's just, it's in our bedroom, isn't it?
Yeah, I think anything that we see where there's a creative, they don't even have to be musical, but that, you know, really shines and owns their own, you know, personality and their vision, and you can just feel the strength radiating off them. I think that's always going to get as exciting, because look at them being themselves and shining with whatever they're doing. It doesn't make us want to be like them, but to, you know, shine out on ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. It's a bit, it's such a green light sometimes just seeing someone express themselves and then being like, you know what, it's okay, I can do whatever I want. So I really love the story of my drummer's girlfriend, which also ended up with a collaboration with Wheatus. Yeah. So just for anyone who isn't aware of that, can you just recount that story for us, please?
Well, it all started at Download 2024. 2024, right. So we had to, our set was like maybe like 2-3, but we had to stay until like 7-8 to do like loads of media stuff. And anyway, so we're, you know, in the media tent, and all of a sudden we get a Twitter follow from Wheatus. So we're thinking, okay, fan account, nice. You know,
we got the Wheatus fans.
We got Wheatus fan account following us on Twitter. And then when we get home, it's like, well, why would a fan account have this many followers? Like, what is going on? This is looking a bit too authentic. Like, what's happening? And then after, you know, thorough research of about half an hour, we figured out that it actually is the official Wheatus account. So after, you know, about a 2-3 minute freak out, would you say? We reached out, and this was because this is before my drummer's girlfriend, you know, the original dropped. And we figured it's our first ever like indie rock song, and who better to kind of get it cleared than Wheatus? So we said, you know, we're working on this, and you know, thanks so much for the follow. We'd love if you could listen to it and let us know what you think. And he heard it and they loved it, and then he shared it with the rest of the band. And then he was like, oh, I saw you guys in the press tent earlier, but you looked busy, so I didn't say hi. And I was like, oh, really? No way, seriously. I said, you would have made the interview better. Do you know what I mean? Old Black Era interview crashed by Wheatus. That sounds incredible. But anyway, so we were feeling cheeky one night, and we were like, you know what, let's just ask him to, if he would, you know, feature on the song or like, you know, recreate it with us. And then we didn't hear back from him for like 18 hours, and we were like, oh no, we've overdone too much. And then he was like, oh yeah, I fell asleep with my phone on my pad. So me and Jay were panicking, but when he got back to us, he said he showed the rest of the band and they all really loved it. And then like the next week we were on a Zoom meeting. We never met the bass player and the drummer at that time, but they all like contribute to the song. And then a few months later, the vocalist, and he flew out from New York to spend 2 days with us.
Was that in Nuts?
Over here. No, that was it was in London. And then I think we learned so much from them. You know, when people say like, don't meet your idols, like I think they're one group of people that really changed our lives musically, not only for working with Wheatus, you know, but as individuals, the skills that they passed down to us in the studio was really
valuable.
Really, really valuable. Yeah. So yeah.
It's a really nice story of like actually putting yourself out there and asking and like having a go, see what happens. The worst they can say is no. But this has worked out beautifully.
Yes.
Cool. So this year you've released two singles, Tissues and Lost in the Back of My Mind, which along with last year's single OK Cyber Racing, which is absolutely awesome. I keep getting it in my head, will be on your next EP, which is called Our World and out on 22nd of May. How do you feel your sound is evolving from Raven Mortal? Is it moving on, or are you sticking in an era, or...?
I don't think we've moved on from Raven Mortal. We're actually currently writing our second album, which is a continuation of Raven Mortal. But I think in this time period, we just really wanted to release a little project that kind of came from us very authentically and very real about how we're feeling about the state of the world. And every song is...
It's like a stage of grief almost, that we've kind of covered across the five tracks. And we have pushed ourselves in terms of genre-wise and
sonically.
Yeah, that we don't typically, you know, do in our All Black Era style. Like, it's Our World is almost like a 21 Pilots kind of track, which we've never done before. But I think with being, you know, young creatives, it's also important to really, I guess, feel it, which is so kind of cringe, but really feel what the music is telling us and go with the flow instead of being really rigid about it. And I think that also reflects, you know, the changes in society, and just it was just really reactive. But yeah, still working on Raven Mortal, so if there's any drum and bass fans listening, don't worry, we'll spin back.
Yeah, it sounds like quite a cathartic EP that you put together.
I think so, because I think there's so many like built up emotions of, you know, frustration and confusion, and I think a lot of isolation as well, like am I the only one that feels like this, and who do I talk to this about? And I think a lot of the songs are, you know, talking about an individual's, you know, wanting to escape, but I think Our World, the actual song, is all about, you know, uniting, and even though we're individuals, we're stronger together, and we can create something more beautiful as a united people.
Yeah,
that's really nice. I like that. I think in the past maybe 5 to 10 years, there's been a lot of music which is actually talking about like issues and emotions through those issues. Whereas maybe 20 years ago, like the indie scene was all about just sort of having a good time and stuff. But people are actually like very consciously connecting through music about these things now, which is really nice to see. Cool. So just moving on to a little bit more about like your touring. So obviously last year you went out touring with drum and bass legends Pendulum. Were you a fan before, and what was it like playing in Europe and being on a bill with such a big act?
We found Pendulum through Prodigy, right?
We did.
To really people. That was our first taste. Yes. And as massive Prodigy fans, it was only natural to be massive Pendulum fans as well.
And everyone would, when they would listen to our music, they would say, like, it's like if girls were Pendulum. So we know Pendulum. So when we got that email just like asking if we would like to be support, we were just freaking out.
And you know what I think the best thing about the tour was, because the fans, you know, the Pendulum fans that were there completely got us. And I think there are quite a few people that maybe don't get the, you know, the genre blending and, like, you know, rock, drum and bass, what is this? But we were going into rooms where there was tens of thousands of people that instantly were like, hell yeah, we know what you're about. We love this. Open the pit. Let's go. And like just from the jump, so that was really exciting as well.
Yeah, it is a perfect pairing. I love it. And also I always go and see the support act, because if a main act has handpicked someone and they're like, we want these guys, we want our fans to know these guys and we want to play with these guys, like, of course they're worth going to see. So I don't know, when people go, oh, I'm just going to get there for the main act, I'm like, no, get there at the start.
For our tour, like, we were really excited to reach out to the bands that we've got opening and supporting, because we've actually just been fans of them, and some of them have seen our kind of, you know, progression. So it's very intentional, and you know, to create a show that fulfills the vibe. And sometimes it's all Black Hero, but you know, the acts that we've gotten is like an extension. Maybe some of them more indie, maybe some of them more alt pop, but we believe that it sets like a really, really nice tone and vibe for the night.
So you've got you have got Saint Agnes, mm-hmm. and then a Nuts band, Luna and the Lime Slicers, who are awesome. Yeah, so you chose them. You just as fans of them.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a Luna and the Lime Slicers show with our drummer. I don't even know how we ended up there, but we just went out. We just went out together, just spent the day. And it was like, oh, they're doing a show. And we're like, cool, let's go. And I think just from the first, I mean, Che wasn't with us. But from the first like guitar strum, I was like, Che would absolutely love this. So like, I like FaceTimed her and I was like filming it. And I was like, this is like your totally your vibe. Mm. It's like the grungy, emo, indie kind of vibe, but pretty heavy as well.
Mm, yeah.
So I was really excited that they're down to play. And we met up with them as well at Rescue Rooms, a little pre-Rescue Room show.
Yeah, it was nice.
Rescue Rooms night. And so yeah, it's a lovely people.
And from that night, I remember you coming home and being like, Luna and the Lime Slicers are so good, and we were like, we need them as a support them, don't we? So,
nice.
Really happy that turned out.
I feel like Nottingham has such, I mean, I might be biased, but it has such a blossoming music scene, and there's something for everyone, and there's so many, you know, we lost a few little venues a few years ago, but we've got some lovely places that have popped up, and I think if you dig a little bit, you find some great things in Notts. So.
I think it's not even just the artists, but I think also the Nottingham community. I think there's a real level of openness and I guess willingness to enjoy something that you may not typically listen to. Mm-hmm. And when we first came on the scene, the amount of people that came up to us that were saying, oh, I don't listen to this kind of music. I'm an 80s rock fan, or, you know, I only listen to like dad rock, but I love you guys. And I think that we've been able to thrive because of how encouraging the Nottingham scene has been, mm-hmm. even though we're not typical, you know, like indie artists.
Mm, I think there's a lot of room for expression in that
room. Yeah, I guess we've got that sort of underdog vibe, being a bit of a Midlands town, but and then the rebel vibe with all of our Robin Hood and all of that. But I think it's a very collaborative city, which I really like that. I mean, when I first moved back here, people were saying, oh, you're into that, you should meet this person, and you should go down here and come along to this. And I really, really loved that. I really appreciated it. So I can imagine if you're doing something creative, it's like, you know, it just helps push you along and encourage you. Cool. So and you toured Europe as well with Pendulum.
Yes.
Was that, yeah, did you have fun?
That was really good. We didn't know what to expect. We haven't done that many shows in the EU before.
Well, neither had they. It was like their biggest tour that they've ever done. It was our biggest tour we'd ever done. But it was 19 shows across 5 weeks, right? There were some days that we were literally in a different country every day for like a little period.
But the crowds were incredible.
The crowds, like regardless of, you know, I mean, we'd always try to speak a little bit in the language, like we learned a bit before the show. But we were able to, you know, cross the language barrier instantly, and music just took over, and we had a smashing half an hour every single night.
Drum and bass unites. Unites the world. So in Nairobi, you've talked quite openly about having a long-term health condition, and I'm guessing for touring and just even, you know, being a creative, playing music, you've got to have quite a lot of on-the-go energy, and I think it's probably quite easy to burn out, and I feel like it's quite easy for a lot of people to burn out, never mind if you've got to perform. So have you learned a lot through the last few years, and have you learned to sort of prioritize your own needs?
I guess the thing I've learned the most is to rely on other people, because I think on a personality level, I'm a very much, you know, I want to do it myself. I'm very hands-on. I want to help. I'm not someone that wants to watch other people unload the van when I'm thinking I'm super strong, I can help. But I think I've learned the most that it's okay, and I don't have to be ashamed or feel awkward about it. And I was really fortunate to have a team, you know, the band, management, or my sister, that is willing to help, and they understand, and they're going to go the extra mile to make sure that I'm, you know, physically in a emotionally okay as well, which is phenomenal. So I've just been really lucky to have a solid team. So like on tour, for instance, well, for our tour, we've got, it's like 3 shows a week. So it's spread across 2 weeks. So I've got time to do my therapist and stuff in between. Mm-hmm. But like with the Pendulum shows, I'm pretty much resting for the entire day. I wake up, you know, do the sound check, rest again, go on stage. But everything else, like everything else is helped by the bigger team and not me. Mm-hmm. So I think that, yeah, I'm really privileged in the sense that I can do music because of the people around me. But it wouldn't have been possible if I was there unloading the van every night.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, that's really good. So yeah, you, and then you're back in Notts soon. Obviously you've got your UK tour.
Yes.
And you're back in Notts. So I went to see you last year at Saltbox when you did your album launch. It was amazing. I love the catwalk moment.
Oh,
that
yes.
was great.
Yeah.
No, and there's just so much energy to the show, and really looking forward to the next one. How does it feel to play in Notts? Does it feel like a homecoming? Does it feel awkward because you've got lots of people you know? Is it just, is it a different flavour of gig, or
it's definitely different.
Yeah, it feels different. I don't know what it feels like, though. It feels like, it does feel like a homecoming, almost. We haven't performed in Nottingham in about a year.
Yeah, not for that long. We used to perform loads. I think it can sometimes feel really emotional because, you know, seeing people that have seen you perform in front of like 5 people and they're still showing up.
Still there.
They're still just as excited as they were when you were performing in front of 5 people, and the community that we've, you know, managed to build up over the years. It's almost like seeing old friends. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm seeing ages. How are you doing? And I think there's a real sense of, you know, pride to not only like, you know, be from Notts, but to see the journey. Yeah, seen as growing new music always. I mean, there's always someone that's like, please play this song that you dropped from 2022. Like, guys, we've got to do the EP songs. We've got to do them. But I think it's always a good time. We can always be the craziest as well, like in our live shows in Nottingham, because it's just home, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
home.
The Saltbox show, I'm not sure if you remember, but I was on one of the, in the booths, in Rave Immortal. Me and Jay both came off stage and I was performing half of the song from one of like the booths, like near the tables.
Uh-huh.
And Jay made it all the way to the staircase.
I made a massive mistake. I walked through the mosh pit. And I was getting battered.
A bit chaotic, but I think that we don't typically do things like that outside of Notts. So the Notts show is always going to be, let's do this.
It was good chaos, you know, and it was unexpected, and it got everyone like involved, which I thought was really good. Do you feel like, obviously you started in lockdown, was quite like an isolating like cocoon of a time, and now you're like performing on huge stages, are you natural with it now, or do you feel like it's lights are on, we've got to do it, let's go?
I guess it's a mix, because we always try to incorporate something new in our shows and something, you know, more exciting than the last, whether it's, you know, a new song or like a new routine or a new set order. I think we're always feeling not pressure, but we want to deliver the best show possible every single night. But being on stage itself is so natural, right?
So natural. I'm just thinking from when we first started doing live shows and how nervous we were. We wouldn't move out of our spot. We would just be stuck to the ground.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely freeing being on stage now.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Yeah. So, yeah, you've got quite a lot of festivals over the summer. So you're playing, is it Zigette?
Yes.
And is it 2000 Trees? Is that the other one? And then you've also got Splendour, obviously, at Willetton Hall. What is your festival vibe? Is it sort of get straight on with things, or do you get a chance to go and watch other acts?
For me, not really. I guess that's like part of the disability tax, if you will, that I have to focus on, you know, resting before the show. But when we do shows, Cheo and the band will typically go out, see other band, report back. I'll sometimes get a FaceTime call. So that's how we typically run it, right?
Yeah, I feel like I love to see new bands as well as the ones that I know. So I do like to have a good explore.
We'll come back with some food that we've never tried before.
Yes.
It's like a festival standard, right?
Yeah, nice. Okay, so I want to do a little quick fire round of some of your favourite bits and pieces. So, favourite musical act right now?
I hate to say it, but I've got to say Ashnikko. I listen to so much Ashnikko. They've just been in my top, like, you know, on Spotify, like, top artists for the past, like, 4 years. Just, and I got, you know why? It's because I just got a vinyl player in my room, and I got the, I went to see them when they came to Rough Trade for the signing, because I've got Weed Killer on vinyl, so I'm just spinning that on loop currently. What about you?
I think my favourite band right now is Arcane Roots. Have you heard of them?
No, I haven't.
They're really cool. They're really underground. But
what genre?
It's like post-hardcore, kind of like Sleep Token-y,
okay,
but like long songs, like 6-minute songs, but
okay,
really good.
Okay.
And they're going to be performing at 2000 Trees, so hopefully I can catch their set.
Nice. Nice. Have you got a favourite spot in Nottingham?
Absolutely.
Do you?
Yeah. I think my favourite, well, depends for what, but in general, for restaurant-wise, we love Coco Tang.
Mm-hmm.
What a place. And then I think CRS as well, because when we, like, before Old Black Era, like 10 years before Old Black Era, and that's where we learned our first instruments. Like, we got to dabble on, like, drums, electric guitar, piano, bass guitar. And we wrote our first song together there as well.
Wow.
It was about escapism as well. We were deep at the ages of 10 and 7. Yes. We were in deep.
That's amazing.
So that feels like a second home.
Do you have a recording of that?
No.
We know it,
but we don't have a recording.
Maybe it's one for the album. I don't know. A little, like, secret track at the end.
Yeah.
Best venue you've played?
Oh, okay. In Manchester, the one that we supported, Pendulum.
Oh, Manchester.
Mayfield Depot. And that's, like, nearly 10,000 people there. And it was just crazy. And it was, like, it's an old railway station, so it was super, like, industrial and...
Yeah.
Oh, I just love that venue so much. So big. And also the lights.
Mm.
They're, like, lasers, and, like, I've never seen lights like that before, so it was, like...
That was cool.
It was really cool.
Mm.
What about you and I?
For me, I mean, ask me after the main show, and I will definitely say Rescue Rooms. We haven't played it yet, so I think I'd have to say Rock City.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't played Rock City for a long time, but I think it's one of the best things in Notts. The vibe's always good, the sound, the energy, and the size of the stage. I can just go off and do a crazy thing in one corner.
Mm-hmm.
It will be Rescue Rooms in about, is it a month?
It is a month exactly. No,
that's the London show. It's about a month and a week before the Notts show, so give me until then.
Cool. And I guess by the time this goes out, it'll be like a few weeks
until,
yeah.
Sorry. If it goes out and you're still listening to this later down the line, hello future. But tickets may or may not be on sale. I mean, go and have a look, see if you can grab them. But yeah, we would love to see you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a lovely way to end the podcast. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you want to talk about before we go, apart from come to the show and 30th of May.
We've got an EP coming out on the 22nd called Our World, and yeah, it's just a mix of every emotion that we feel right now in the current state of the world, and we hope you relate to it as well.
Yeah, well, we're going to be performing it in full in the Nottingham show on May 30th.
Yes.
So I think it's going to be one of the first times we've played the EP in full, but it's really deep. But in the same way, it's really exciting. You know, there's heavy guitar still, live drums, there's, you know, choreography, and then the lineup stick as well. We've got St. Agnes, Luna and the Lime Slicers. So it's not one you want to miss, because every time you miss one, you're going to think, damn, I wish I went to that last one. So come to this one. FOMO is real.
Yeah, I think we've got to kind of catch you while we can these days in Nottingham. So, yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's been really, really nice to talk to you. And I hope your tour goes swimmingly.
Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
That was Nairobi and Chaya of Alt Black Era. It was really wonderful to have them on the podcast, and it was such a lovely conversation. Their EP Our World is out today, May 22nd, and you can find it on all the usual streaming platforms. Their show at Rescue Rooms is happening next week on Saturday, 30th of May. As far as I can see, the tickets have sold out, but you can catch them in July at Splendor Festival in Wilson Park, along with Primal Scream, Craig David, Snow Patrol, Divorce, and a lot more. That's all from me today, but we do have a few more exciting podcasts lined up, so keep checking leftlion.co.uk and our socials for what's coming up. You can also find the back catalogue online, including interviews with the likes of Shane Meadows, Adam Curtis, Natalie Duncan, and Chanel Cresswell. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.